Good morning and welcome back to Spirit Mornings on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in as it's time for the Good Book Club. This time, every day, Monday through Friday, we share with you the Word of God on the radio. We continue through the Minor Prophets. We are in Amos, and then we will discuss after we listen with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. It's brought to you by Gloria Deo Books and Gifts in Omaha and Lincoln.
Listen to it. Learn it. Live it. The Good Book Club, now on Spirit Mornings.
The Book of Amos. Chapter 4.
Hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the poor, who crush the needy, who say to your husbands, "Bring wine, let us drink." The Lord God has sworn by his holiness, "Behold, the days shall come upon you when he will take you away with fishhooks, and your posterity with fishhooks. You will go out through broken walls, each one straight ahead of her, and you will be cast into Harmon," says the Lord.
"Come to Bethel and transgress. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 days. Offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Proclaim and announce the free will offerings. For this you love, you children of Israel. Also, I gave you cleanness of teeth in all your cities and lack of bread in all your places. Yet you have not returned to me. I also withheld rain from you when there were still 3 months to the harvest. I made it rain on one city. I withheld rain from another city. One part was rained upon, and where it did not rain, the part withered. So two or three cities wandered to another city to drink water. But they were not satisfied."
"Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. I blasted you with blight and mildew when your gardens increased. Your vineyards, your fig trees, and your olive trees, the locust devoured them. Yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord.
I sent among you a plague after the manner of Egypt. Your young men I killed with a sword, along with your captive horses. I made the stench of your camps come up into your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me. I overthrew some of you, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you were like a firebrand plucked from the burning, yet you have not returned to me. Therefore, thus will I do to you, O Israel. Because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, O Israel.
For behold, he who forms mountains and creates the wind, who declares to man what his thought is and makes the morning darkness, who treads the high places of the earth, the Lord God of hosts is his name.
There we have the Word of Promise, dramatized audio Bible version of Amos chapter 4, the Good Book Club on the air, Spirit Mornings here on the Spirit Catholic Radio Network. I'm Bruce McGregor, joined as I am each weekday by my co-host, Jen Brown. And to discuss these verses today, we're delighted to have back on the Good Book Club with us, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And he's going to be speaking in the area. We'll cover that at the end of our scripture discussion. Deacon, good morning. Welcome to the Good Book Club.
Good morning, Bruce and Jen. It's great to be back with you again.
Well, thanks for being on with us, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. And we've been going through Amos. We're actually going through all the minor prophets. And we are just in awe by Amos and kind of this whole, well, this guy has been set forth with a very difficult job, kind of this downer of a job that we're understanding. He is a shepherd and a rancher, and he heard the voice of God, and now he has to share with people what he's hearing. Wow, this one, very descriptive, really good imagery right in the beginning there, because he is a shepherd, so he has observed well-fed cows. So he really put that imagery to use in the very first sentence, didn't he, Deacon Harold?
Yeah, he sure did. You know, Amos not one to mince words.
Right.
he's using very strong language, And what he's doing, he's bringing out the fact that he's addressing corruption that's happening in Israel at the time, specifically where the richer farmers have been buying out the poorer farmers and making them into sharecroppers or hired hands. So what was supposed to happen, if you remember, in the Feast of Jubilees, every 7 years, the land was supposed to be returned back to the poor farmers, but instead, the rich farmers were actually keeping the land. And when the poor farmers went to court in order to make their case that the rich farmers were violating the law, the rich farmers were bribing the judges. So this is kind of the foundation which Amos is addressing here. And right in the first verse, very strong, "Hear this, you cows of Bashan." Mm-hmm. I was just talking about the women, and Bashan shows up a number of times in the Psalms as well. And it's a district that's just outside of Jordan, and they are known for their well-fed flocks and herds. So he's comparing the cows, which of course were the females of the flock of Bashan, to the wealthy women of the tribes here that he's addressing. So he's saying that these women, they fatten up on the poor, on the backs of the poor, just the same way that the cows fatten themselves in Bashan, that these women are fattening themselves up on the poor and getting their husbands to participate in all of this. And he warns that, he talks about fish being hauled off out of their element. So in other words, the fish are going to be taken by hook, and they're brought out of their natural element. So if they continue in this behavior, the Lord's going to bring the people of Israel out of their natural element and bring them into exile. So again, very, very strong language and a warning from the prophet Amos to the people of Israel.
Yeah, kind of that idea of, I think we hear this term fat cats, and we understand what that means. Like,
yes, exactly right. And I think the lesson for us in these first three verses here is that sometimes we can get lazy, we can get complacent when things are going really well in our lives. Oh, yeah, you know, I got everything that I need. You know, I don't really need God right now. We usually only call on God when things are going bad in our lives. But this is a reminder that God is a just God, that we are to honor and reverence and respect him and give him the glory that he deserves at all times, not just when things are going bad. And not to take things in life for granted, and not to put all our trust in the things of the world. So I think it's a very good reminder. In the next set of verses then, so the people figure, okay, look, if we perform these rituals, then, you know, we'll make everything okay with God. You know, if we just kind of go through the motion. But the problem is they were worshiping, but their hearts weren't in it. So they were doing all the perfunctory offerings, but their hearts weren't there. The internal conversion of the heart was not present when they were making the sacrifices. So it says there, come to Bethel and transgress to Gilgal. Now, those two places are significant because that's not the place where they're supposed to offer the sacrifice. They're supposed to do it in Jerusalem. But instead, the people, it's Jerusalem's too far. We'll just go to Bethel and Gilgal. Well, those aren't the places where God was supposed to accept the sacrifice. And then it says, and multiply the transgression, bringing the sacrifice and the tithes and the leaven and proclaiming freewill offering and publishing them. And publishing them, by the way, means making the offerings that you're offering public. It doesn't modify, I looked at it in the Hebrew, it doesn't modify both the fact that they're making the sacrifice of thanksgiving and the freewill offerings, and that they're supposed to make those public. So people know that it's the public worship of the Lord. And they were offering the sacrifices technically according to the law in Leviticus chapter 2, for example, or in Deuteronomy 12. But again, their hearts weren't in it. And sometimes it's like that with us, don't we? We kind of show up at Mass on Sunday, kind of punch in the clock, and we're supposed to be offering ourselves, our lives, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our joys, our sorrows. Everything we have and everything we are offered along with that bread and wine and taken up by the angels to God in heaven. And God accepts the sacrifice of his son and returns that bread and wine to us as the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And sometimes, just like the people here that Amos is describing, we kind of take things for granted.
Yeah, we don't give back. We don't give of ourselves when we come to Mass, and it's so easy. All we are asked to do is just give of ourselves to him, and we lose sight of that. the individuals in these passages, starting right from the first verse, are very wealthy, as we're finding out individuals, and they're thinking that this wealth and this greatness that God has given them is going to protect them in these passages from the north, which their wealth is not going to protect them. What you were talking about, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, they're not doing the right, the correct way of offering back to God. And so something is going to happen from that because of their transgressions.
That's right, because our actions have consequences. You know, because again, God is a God of justice. So you can't expect someone who's giving of themselves totally and completely to get the same reward as someone that's just going through the motion. And so the Lord reminds them, hey, look, I did these things to try to bring you back to me. You know, I was held rain for three, I gave you cleanness of teeth. So cleanness of teeth obviously means that their teeth were clean because there was no food and or no wine to order to stain their teeth, lack of bread. And notice after each one of these reminders of what the Lord has done in the past, it says, yet you did not return to me. Yet you did not return to me. Hey, look, I did this, but hey, look, he didn't come back to me. And sometimes, you know, we're in the Bible they call the people stiff-necked, you know, this stiff-necked people. And we can be the same way. God sends us sign after sign after sign, and still we don't get it. You know, we still choose to ignore God's will, even when he's making it obvious and clear. And here in Amos, of course, Amos is a farmer. They were an agrarian society, so all of these things that God has done affect their livelihoods and their crops. And it was interesting, some of these are reminders of what happened in Egypt. Verse 10 says, I sent you among you pestilence after the manner of Egypt. It talked about locusts and destroying the crops. So some of these are very similar. It's trying to remind them, hey, wait, look, remember, I rescued you from the land of slavery, from the land of Egypt, from the land of oppression. I did these great and terrible things in the eyes of the Egyptians because what he was doing, each of those plagues were showing God's power over the gods of Egyptians because they're not worshiping the God of Israel. He's, in a sense, at a smaller level, doing the same things to them to bring them back to worship the true God. But he's reminding them, I did these things. I'm reminding you what happened to Egypt, but yet you still didn't come back to me. And I think there's a huge lesson in there for us as well, that we cannot continue to ignore God's will. Because when God's will and our will are in communion, that's true freedom. Now we're free to be the person who God created us to be. And God is, I think, reminding the people of that in very strong ways through these plagues.
Yeah, and they're very, very powerful. As you're looking at verse 10 there, you see that, you know, the stench of their carcasses and probably the locusts that we heard about, you know, caused death or the plague as well, Deacon.
Yeah, that's right. And he's reminding them of Sodom and Gomorrah as well. Yeah, so the stench and the pestilence, because when things die, they reek. So he's reminding them that, you know, the stench of your camp go up to your nostrils, yet you did not return to me. So he's hitting all of their senses as well. Their sight, the sound, the taste, the smell. He's trying to remind them in a very sensory, in a very tangible and tactile way of what God is trying to do to turn their hearts. Not just, you know, to get them to do the right thing, but to do it with an honest sense of reverence and awe before the living God, and yet they refuse to do so. And again, sometimes that happens with us as well. Or sometimes when something bad happens, we turn away from God. We think, I'll show God, I'll stop going to Mass, I'll stop praying because this happened to my daughter, or this person didn't recover from cancer, even though I prayed and I prayed. Well, God, I'm going to show you, you know? And God shows us that it doesn't work that way, that we have to trust him even when things aren't going well in our lives.
Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers with us this morning as we look at Amos chapter 4. Do you think, Deacon Harold, that there is a lesson in here that people can learn from their experience and also that misfortune can open our eyes to reality?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's probably the point here. Because in verse 12, it says, therefore, thus I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. What's happened is God has planned something for them, but doesn't describe it because he leaves an element of fear, because we fear the unknown. We fear, you know, God is going to do something, it's not going to be good, and we don't know what it is, and so it instills this sense of fear. What it's supposed to instill is not a sense of just being afraid, but a filial fear. You know, Yahweh in Hebrew, which means honor, reverence, and respect. And so what he's trying to do by instilling this element of fear, meaning to be afraid, he's trying to get them to fear God again, to bring them back into right relationship with him, to move their hearts back to that beautiful filial fatherhood fear of disappointing someone that you love, disappointing your parent, in a sense. And so, yeah, we can't forget that when things are going difficult, we still have to turn our hearts to the Lord. It's really hard to do. I remember I lost my best friend. Oh, my goodness, it's going on probably 13 years ago now. He died at 38 years old of cancer, left behind a wife and two very small children, two sons who are teenagers now. But when that happened, I thought, God, are you doing? I mean, here's a guy who overcame some very difficult things in his life, turned his life around. In a sense, how does God reward him by giving him cancer and having him die at an early age? And, you know, I think about that often and how angry I felt at the Lord and how I didn't understand what God was doing. But over time, I came to learn that, you know, God's will and God's knowledge is greater than ours. And I don't, even though I don't understand what God was doing, I have to trust that God knows what's best, even if it doesn't seem so to us. And we have to get given that unconditional love and trust, which sometimes we're very reluctant to do.
Amen.
Right. Deacon Harold Burke Sivers with us today. It's Amos chapter 4 that we're talking about. And I think, Deacon, isn't kind of the overarching tendency here for Amos is to prepare the people by repentance to be able to find mercy?
Yes. I think that's exactly right, because ultimately he ends his whole discourse on a note of hope. But, yeah, he's emphasizing now that internal conversion of heart, that God is merciful, but God is also just, that if you continue acting in this way, God is going to give you what you're asking for, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, God is a God of love and God is a God of mercy, but this is not what Amos is emphasizing here. He's emphasizing the fact that God is a God of divine judgment, that if they continue in these ways, that God is just going to allow their behavior is going to dictate how God responds to them, because they're living in a way that's not commensurate with God's heart and God's will for them in their lives. So you can't expect good things to happen when you're living apart from God. Amos is trying to prepare them for that, trying to remind them of that, in the hope that they will turn back from their wicked ways, that they will turn back from their sins, and that will just not offer things according to the law, but offer them their hearts and their lives back to God as well.
Speaking of hope, yeah. A call to faith, hope, and love, a parish mission that's going to be taking place in Fremont, Nebraska, is coming up in February, starting on the 4th, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, you are the main speaker at St. Patrick Catholic Church. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, you know, Lent is approaching, and I was contacted by the parish there in Fremont, they actually picked the topics. So I'm going to be talking each night one of the theological virtues of faith, hope, and love. And the goal is to explore these virtues and look at how the Lord uses them to penetrate our hearts, to penetrate our lives, to connect our lives more deeply and intimately with our faith, with the hope that God gives us, and obviously through love, which is the queen of all of these virtues. Because at the end, there is no more faith, there is no more hope, all that's left is love. But while we're here on earth, as part of the church militant, trying to get to the church triumphant, we need faith, we need all three, faith, hope, and love. So those are going to be the first three nights, and then the last night is going to be for youth and young adults about all three of the very kind of a summary of all three talks I'm giving the previous night. So very excited to be back in Nebraska. I think the last time I was there, I did a retreat for deacons. And so I'm glad to be coming back into a parish community and talk about God's incredible grace in those beautiful theological virtues.
Well, we're happy to
Excellent.
Have you back as well. It starts on Sunday, February 4th, and goes until the 7th. A call to faith, hope, and love with Deacon Harold Burke Sivers at St. Patrick Catholic Church in Fremont, Nebraska. God bless you, Deacon Harold. Can we get you to do a blessing for our day?
May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May your hearts always keep turned toward the Lord as you accomplish His will in your life. And may the Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, thank you for spending time with us today. We're immensely appreciative.
Yes, you're most welcome. Thank you for having me on, Bruce and Jen.